Jason Tatum, make it 50.
Hey, Perk, is that Jason Tatum out there? Or Jason Voorhees? Spooky season coming early in Bean Town. And how spoiled are we? We get Steph versus LeBron, part 39. Seriously, the stakes are high, and we've got the preview. I sat down with Draymond Green. Do the Warriors have a puncher's chance to make some noise this postseason, or maybe even win the title? You know, Dre's not backing down, and we're premiering the long-awaited Bald and the Beautiful today. We hope you love drama all
I'm
on the
bold?
Jump.
I got
next.
My whole own segment.
Welcome to The Jump, presented by Dell.
Welcome to The Jump. I am Rachel Nichols. Not only do we have NBA champs Richard Jefferson, Kendrick Perkins both in studio, we have 2004 NBA champ, four-time All-Star Rasheed Wallace as well.
Rasheed,
you can see my joy every time you're on the show. I am so, so thrilled you're back with us. And we're getting to get into Warriors, Lakers in a bit, guys. But we got to start in Boston, where Washington's biggest problem last night wasn't Russ accidentally hitting Alex Len in the face on a putback. It was Jason Tatum, who scored 50 points on the Wizards and on fellow St. Louis native Bradley Beal. Tatum's performance secured the seventh seed in the East, a date with the Nets. Here is Jason postgame. Ooh.
I know that my teammates, you know, I've earned their respect. I've earned the respect of the guys that I play against and the coaches. And, you know, I believe myself, and that's all that matters.
No, it's always exciting to see him go off the way he goes. So, you know, we're going to need that throughout this whole run.
He said, I know a lot of his moves, so a lot of it I was there, but, you know, I'm only 6'3". So I wish I was 6'9 with robotic arms, but, you know, he's a special talent.
That's amazing from Bradley Beal, of course. He and Tatum went to the same high school. Brad's been a mentor to Jason, and Jason said after the game last night, he said, look, I knew I had to win because I was not going to hear this from Brad for the rest of my career that I didn't. Sheed, what did you learn about the Celtics last night?
That we already knew that Jason Tatum was a monster. Like he's a young monster that's on that killing spree. Like you said, Jason Voorhees. Mm-hmm. But no, he had a great game last night, and he did what he was supposed to do. Kemba, we seen the old Kemba as well. We seen the Charlotte Hornets Kemba, you know, that's going to make that hesitation crossover move, come back and pop that tramp in your face. You know, and that's what they need. Unfortunately, of course, they're missing Jaylen Brown, but. You know, they still got to push on without him. You're still getting that paycheck. But, hey, they're going to have to come out and do that same performance or better in this next game.
Yeah, they are. Look, I love the way Boston is playing. They're still growing because, again, they had all the excuses. Jaylen Brown is out. Mm-hmm. You know, the Wizards have been playing well over the last few weeks. Russ has been on fire. Bradley Beal, you know, he's been nursing an injury, but he's had an outstanding season. But really and truly, the way the Boston Celtics play, Tristan Thompson played great for them in the middle. And really, when Jason Tatum is doing that, he looks like one of the top five players in the league. And I'm not talking about because he scored 50. It's because the way he did it. You put a little guy on him, he's going to shoot over top. You put a bigger guy on him, he's going to take him off the dribble. When you start seeing the completion of his game, then it's just a matter of raising that level, and it's just impressive.
Well, the thing is about Jason Tatum, right, when I watch him is sometimes I watch him play, and he plays like he's 6'4 at times, right, settling for jump shots, sidestep three-point shots and things to that nature. But last night he played 6'9 like he was 6'10. He attacked the paint. He got to the free throw line. But the biggest thing to me was Evan Fournier. Right, he's been playing exceptionally well since he got past the COVID situation, and he's starting to feel good. So the trade looks good on Danny Ainge's part because they could re-sign him, but he knocks down open shots. He's excellent off the ball. He could move well off the ball, and his energy is contagious. I saw a lot of player movement last night in the offense, and that goes credit to Evan Fournier because that's what he does.
Yeah, and look, to me, what I learned, I didn't learn, as you guys said, Jason Tatum is good. We already knew that, but Jason Tatum has been identified as a high talent player since the draft, certainly since his first year here in Boston. But the question is always, can he fulfill his full potential? And it's a little bit of a trick question because we think his potential is, as you say, Richard, maybe a top five player in the league. That is a huge bar to get up to. And it's games like last night coming through when it's do or die. You're the one who goes out and drops 50. That tells me he is on that path still. That is pretty cool to watch. All right, guys, I do want to tend to Lakers-Warriors because, my Lord, this flash tonight for the right to face the Suns as the seventh seed in the West. Oh, please, Richard, you're going to be glued to every minute. The loser is going to face the Grizzlies or Spurs in an elimination game on Friday on ESPN. Now, Tuesday, Anthony Davis stressed the urgency the Lakers need to bring to the Warriors.
It's a big game. It's a, you know, playing Steph Curry. And the Warriors, and it's always a tough matchup when you're playing those guys when Steph is playing. So, we look at it as, a game seven for sure, because you only get to play, you play these guys one time in a play-in tournament. So we look at it as a game seven for sure, and it's a must-win for us.
Perk, what would you tell the Lakers if you were in that locker room tonight? How should they approach this game?
Well, first of all, continue to hang their hats on the defensive end, right? Don't shy away from that. But I would tell the Lakers, if I'm Frank Vogel, hey, guys, we have to live in the paint, right? We got so much size, athleticism. We're big. We should dominate the paint, especially when they move Draymond to the five. So they should kill in the interior part. Defensively, make someone else beat him. I know that's easier said than done, but get the ball out of Steph Curry's hands. Make Andrew Wiggins have to put up, make 25 to 30 points to beat you, or even make Draymond Green have to play great offensively. So if I'm Frank Vogel, those are the messages I'm delivering tonight.
Yeah, no, I agree with Perk. Look, I saw a stat that Frank Vogel.
Oh, you do?
But just hush. Hush. Just for now, just on this point, dude. Just give it some time. We're in the first block. I've seen, Frank Vogel has been the number one defensive coach three different times, and he's been a top three defensive coach of a team another three times. And so when Perk says hang your hat on your defense, that's what you have to do. But defense is this. Defense is not when someone gets hot in the first quarter. If someone gets hot, yeah, you got to make adjustments, but you also have to stick to your game plan. If they can make someone else, not necessarily beat them, because Steph can still have at 35, 40, even if you're double teaming him, but if you let the other guys are the ones that are having to knock down shots, you're staying at home, you're sending two people, and you like you said, take care of the paint, that's when the Lakers can have a chance. But make no mistake, the Lakers are two games away from not being in the postseason. Two losses. Let's keep that. This is a game seven, because you just don't know injuries and all this other stuff. So the Lakers should be stressed.
Like a game six and a half.
It's still a seven. You get two shots at a seven. That's the only thing I'm going to say. Two shots at a game seven.
What would you tell the Lakers, Sheed? What's your strategy for tonight?
Well, I would go with the hat trick with the other two guys. I said, definitely hang your hat on defense. If you look at the veteran core guys that are going to be playing, they're the best. You got the AD, and then you got the new other AD, Andre yeah. Drummond, and of course you got LeBron, and a lot of those guys are veterans, so they know what's at stake. So it's not really like in a locker room, I got to be pumping the fist, all rah rah, all in your ear, playing all the hype music. No, you know what's at stake here. Look, we are first of all, us repeating is on the line, and That right there holds a lot of weight. Then, because who wants to be known as the champions that couldn't even make the playoffs the following year after they won it? You know what I'm saying? So that's going to hit hard with them too. But I think overall, it's going to be a good game. And again, I agree with you, Perk. You cannot count Steph out, but you do have to make other people beat you. You gotta throw two and three people at Steph. And if Draymond ends up with 25, 30, or as you said, Wiggins, or any of the other guys end up with that high caliber amount, then, hey, you did your job. But look, somebody else gonna beat us. We can't allow this man to shoot 50 feet from the basket and all splashing and running down there shimmying. No, we can't allow that. They got to lock that up. It's going to be hard as hell on Dennis Schroeder. I'm going to let you know that now. Mm-hmm. He's going to help. You better.
One of the keys to playing Steph and playing the Warriors has been the teams that have been successful. And, Richard, you were on one of them, has to be physical with him. Dennis Schroeder, who is going to be one of the prime defenders on him tonight, is still recovering and coming back from his COVID absence. I talked to him a little bit yesterday about this. He said his conditioning is still not 100% there yet, so that will be interesting to watch. You guys all mentioned defense, and I do want to get to one thing, Richard, is that, look, this team finished number one in defense, which is remarkable considering that they're by far two best defensive players, Anthony Davis and LeBron James, missed big chunks of the season. And, yes, they can hang their hat on that tonight, but, Sheet, it reminds me kind of your teams, right, the team that won the title, the teams that were in the finals after that. How much do you have to do by committee, and how do you work the chess match with when does Anthony Davis move to the five? When does Draymond move to the five? Who's going to dare who to go small first or stay big or any of that? How does that work, Sheed?
Well, if I'm Frank, I'm going to stay big. Look at who I got. I got AD.
LeBron,
I got
AD.
Gasol, I got Drummond, like, yo, Brian,
another AD.
Like, yo, why am I going to go small? No, we're going to stay big. Make them match up with us. Don't go the other way. Yeah. You know, it's been going the other way for years. The Warriors have always been made teams match up with them. You know, you got to match up with Klay. You got to match up with Steph and their other great supporting cast that they had in those times when they were winning the championship. Now, no, you going to match up with me. All these bigs, you ain't get all them bigs for nothing. No, you better put them bigs out there and mop through these cats, man.
Yeah, and my thing is this, when you were talking about Schroeder that's having to guard, you don't guard Schroeder, or you don't guard Steph Curry at half court. You don't guard him like at full court. You guard Steph Curry the minute you wake up that morning. The minute you wake
but
up that
morning. You're not joking.
I'm not joking. You have to start mentally preparing.
Right.
You have to start like
that's
thinking about it. You have to understand that he's going to hit shots and he's going to do this. And so it's like the mental process, and all of you guys have been in deep playoff runs, won championships. The mental process for guarding Steph starts like right now, this morning, in shoot around and all of those moments. So, you know, just for anybody that's wondering what it's like to guard Steph, it's a 24-hour job.
Yes.
It's not just half
yes.
court.
Yes.
It's not just at the other free throw line or full court.
Yeah.
No, your brain is cooking right now.
I'm pretty sure he had you spinning in circles. But listen, real quick, Rachel, I want to say this, right? Look, another way to help their defense is by making Steph Curry play defense, right? Like, spend some of that energy on the defensive end. Search him out. Make him guard, because he already has to work so hard offensively to get open and to get his shot off, because the offense is ran through him and he's 80% of the offense. So make him spend some of that energy on the defensive end.
I love it. I love it. Well, it's going to be interesting. We'll certainly talk about things from the Warriors side a little later in the show. You'll hear my conversation with Draymond Green. And coming up right next, the Pacers rolling over the Hornets last night in Sheed's town of Charlotte. What should the Hornets take away as their season comes to an end? So, Sheed, did you know that it was nearly to the day 7 years ago that your Pistons eliminated Richard's Nets while holding New Jersey to 69 points?
Nice.
What do you remember from that game, and how was Richard?
Ooh, it was a big game. And you know, he's always, during that series, he was always the thorn in our side because of the fact that his athleticism.
You're so nice to lie like that.
You know, No, real talk.
I led the series in scoring.
Shot okay. And everything. So, yeah, he wasn't a chunk.
Thank
he wasn't
you.
A chunk.
There we go. That's the
nicest thing people to know, man.
We
was up 3-2. We had him.
Not a chunk.
He was so close.
And yet, guess who won?
Every time. That's why I got respect for Sheed.
Let's take a look at a magic moment brought to you by Walt Disney World Resort. The young and upcoming Charlotte Hornets got a taste of the postseason against the Pacers last night, and it didn't go well. Indy won by 27. They led wire to wire. They were ahead by as many as 39 at one point. Now Charlotte eliminated. Still, there's so much to be excited about this core. Very young, very athletic. Doesn't even include vets on this list like Gordon Hayward, Terry Rozier. So, Richard, I'll start with you. What lessons should the Hornets take away from this game and this season?
That they got their tails whooped. That they got obliterated on national television. You guys had a national platform and you got obliterated. This game was over early. And I say that because I want you guys to take that with you. Take those losses with you into the offseason. Take them with you into your career. We had an opportunity to play against the Detroit Pistons. We sweep the Detroit Pistons. Next year, what do? They go get Rasheed Wallace and they beat us in seven and win a championship. You got to take those losses with you and then you move forward. So, yes, take the embarrassment, understand that, go into the gym and get better.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's definitely that. You got to take that loss on the chin. But I think what they need, look, this is not the NCAA tournament. All right, so they got a team full of guards. Their guards are good, but, yo, you need some inside scoring. You did enough with the perimeter scoring. You need some inside scoring. So until they settle that problem right there, because if you look at it, a lot of the games where the Hornets are getting blown out or you know, like really destroyed, it comes from that inside presence. Right now, they don't have that scoring. You know, I like the defender in Bismack Biyombo, but you need that scoring on that other end, man. And until they settle that problem, you know, it's going to be coming up short like this.
Well, it's two things. I think, one, the Hornets dropped their guard because of, you know, Caris LeVert being out and then, you know, people saying about Sabonis not being healthy and things to that nature. And they thought it was going to be easy. Hmm. Again, the play-in is the playoffs before the playoffs. And a lot of those guys never experienced, except probably Terry Rozier, the intensity of the playoffs. The majority of these guys on the Indiana Pacers were in the playoffs last year, so they know what it takes. They know what type of intensity they have to play with. They know how you have to get into people, get into guys, make guys uncomfortable. And I thought from the jump, they jumped out on them early, and it was too late. They had snatched their souls. The Hornets could not come back after that. They could not recover. So it was a great learning experience for the Hornets, LaMelo Ball, all the young core over there, Bridges and everyone else, just to get better, and now they got a taste of it. So I expect them to come back next year and be even better when this time comes again next season.
Agreed. And don't forget, guys, the impact of Gordon Hayward being out, because I know there's a lot of hubbub about his deal in the offseason. My take was, what was Charlotte going to spend that money on, right? That's the only thing you can really judge it on. If you got $120 million, can you give it to someone else more valuable? Can you attract another free agent? And if the answer is no, then giving it to Gordon Hayward, to me, was smart. But the injury concerns have been there all season, and he missed a big chunk of time again, including last night's game. So when he's in and healthy, I think he was a tremendous part of their success this year.
Huge.
But I think this offseason, they just have to take a look at that. Maybe you're not getting ever a completely injury-free season from him, and so therefore, what are the other pieces you got to put around, like she'd said. So, all right, I wanted to move on to the winner of this game. The Pacers win means that Indy will travel to D.C. to take on the Wizards for that eighth and final playoff spot. Now, the Wiz swept the Pacers this season with two of those losses coming in the last 2 weeks. Also, take a look at what Russell Westbrook put up in their head-to-head matchups this season, 27, 18, and 20, which is gaudy even by Russell Westbrook's standards. Russ was not the same, though, in that game last night against Boston. So, Sheed, let's start with you. What chances do you give the Pacers against Russ and the Wizards?
Hey, did anybody else just read those numbers that was put up?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, goodness gracious, this man is right now, I got to say, Russ is the best player in the NBA right now. It's no disrespect to KD and Kyrie and LeBron. But, hey, now...
Steph Curry?
No disrespect to Steph. I know you scoring champ. You know, you're getting a... But, man, what this kid is doing...
Jokic?
And it's for the season.
Sheed, you about to go viral. You didn't even know. They're gonna love that statement.
I mean, man, but look, but it's the truth. I mean, there ain't no disrespect to guys, though, RJ.
Yeah.
But, man, it's... Hey, Russell Westbrook right now, man, is killing it, man. He's killing it. So if I'm the Pacers, of course, you know, in the meetings, the game plan is how are we going to stop Russ, right? But then you say that, but then you got the sharpshooter in the corner and running all around, too, with Bradley Beal. You know what I'm saying? That's a hell of a 1-2 combination, though, they got right there, man.
Yeah.
And again, it's going to have to be all hands on deck for the Pacers. As Perk just said about them playing the Hornets, yo, they got that experience. Well, they're going to have to bring all that damn experience against just those two guys alone.
Okay. There's a lot to unpack there. One, but this is what I'm going to say. Sheed, I understand what you're saying, and I'm going to break it down from a more of a numbers from, like, this space. Yes, Russell Westbrook's numbers have been on par. We've seen what he's done, like one of the best seasons that he has had. Yes, and they've played well of late. The last like 25 games, they have played great. Last 15 games, they played great. But when you get into games like this and Russell shoots what he did against Boston, and then obviously Jason Tatum goes for 50, it's like Russ doesn't have anything to prove. I don't want anybody's trolls coming out, but Russ has to come and put up a very, very good game. He's got to go and have a 30, 12, and 14 because Steph Curry has led his team to this spot. You know, Russell Westbrook led his team to this spot, but now the eyes are going to be on Steph. And then all of a sudden, the eyes are going to be on Westbrook to see how he answers after his performance in the Boston game, which he knows, we know, everyone knows. He didn't play well. He needs to play better if his team is going to be successful.
Perk, what do you think was going on with Russ last night?
Well, I mean, Rachel, here it is, right? Boston came with Brad threw out a defensive playoff coverage, right? Schemes. He went to his bag. Mm-hmm. And look, we have to look at and evaluate the personnel that's around Russell Westbrook, okay? They have three guys on that team that no one wanted. Like, you have guys like Matthews. You have no knock on Robin Lopez, but they're going to him on the post to actually get offense. Bradley Beal is not even 100%. Ish Smith had to provide a spark. So he doesn't have the personnel around him. But Russell Westbrook will bounce back. Okay, I thought last night he started off the game, he was being too passive, and then he started to look to score to get his buckets. But I'm looking for him to have that Kobe Bryant mentality come this next game, getting up 30
that
to 40.
Mamba.
Yeah, the 30, 40 shot attempts. But I will say this, I don't think they're going to beat the Pacers, okay? And here's why. Because of Sabonis, we're talking about a baby Jokic, right? If you look at his numbers, his impact on the game, the way he facilitates for others, the way that he's able to rebound at a high level, and he's able to score on the low block, he can stretch the floor, he does it all. And then they have shooting around them. The Indiana Pacers don't have a lot of household names, but what we saw last night is that they could shoot the lights out of the three ball, and that's the perfect combination when you look at this Indiana Pacers or what they building around Sabonis, because he is a flat-out stud.
Amazing. Yeah. Well, we will. I love that whole breakdown from start to finish. Thank you all. Sheed, thank you so much for stopping by.
Sheed.
I'm thrilled we are going to have you on throughout the playoffs.
Sheed, on behalf of Rachel and I, we thank you for being on time. Unlike somebody else, we really thank you for being on time. Thank you.
Honestly, Sheed, it's not my show, but come back whenever you want, man. Come back.
For sure. I appreciate that, RJ.
And we miss you. We hope to see you in person soon. Everyone else, stick around, because we're going to talk to our esteemed panel about their picks for Coach of the Year. Are Perk and Rich going to agree? Have they ever agreed on anything? Find out next. It is time for...
Here we go.
Bald. Beautiful. Headshot. Glamour. Mini horse? Still bald, still beautiful. Richard Jefferson and Kendrick Perkins starring in... The Bald and the Beautiful.
Okay, cool. Don't sass me.
I don't get sassy.
Sass me. I don't
this
like
is
it.
This is a high bar. This
I don't
might
like
be
it.
My favorite thing we've done on the show.
I don't like it. I look, first of all, this beautiful bald head of mine, yes, but it's like.
I'm just upset that you're bald. And he's beautiful.
I feel like the terminology is wrong. It should be the bald and the beautiful, or the beauty and the beast. I think that would have been better. Oh, that's insulting?
No, he was just mad because, I mean, like, when you put up those pictures, it was night and day.
Mm-hmm.
It was night and day. Rachel was obviously.
Is that because
like,
I'm
when you look at when you look at it, it's like, man, Perky's a handsome young man. He's a dime. But when he get a haircut, he's a 11.
I hate this man.
I can never fully express to you. And by the way, the line in the middle there, mini horses.
Yes.
Incredible. I'm going to need to watch that like 8 more times in the next hour. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the Jump's regular season awards. We've been doing these all week because the ballots for NBA voting are in. And this time I want to look at Coach of the Year. Some news on the coaching front. Monty Williams voted Coach of the Year by the Coaches Association yesterday. Scott Brooks, Mike Malone, Nate McMillan, Doc Rivers, Quinn Snyder, and Tom Thibodeau were the others to receive votes. Now, how often Do the coaches align with the official NBA award, which is voted on by the media? Well, in three of the four previous seasons, the votes did match. Last season was actually the exception there, if you take a look. D'Antoni and Spoelstra, D'Antoni, Casey, Budenholzer. But last year, Nick Nurse won the official award from the NBA. Budenholzer and Donovan split from the coaches. So, Perk, given that, who is your choice for Coach of the Year?
Oh, Rachel, this is a tough one, right? Because so many coaches are well-deserving of this. You got Monty Williams, Tom Thibodeau.
Just Doc give Rivers. Us your answer.
Stop. You cannot interrupt when you're late to the set, okay? Let me finish. All right, but I'm going with Quinn Snyder. I'm going with Quinn Snyder, Rachel, for the simple fact that what he's done with this Utah Jazz team, mm-hmm. and you watch them play inspiring basketball on both ends of the floor, and I look at their defense, right? And you could tell a team that's well coached and that is bought in by the way that they defend. And when Donovan Mitchell went out, I was like, uh-oh, Utah is about to drop. They didn't. They went 13-6 without Donovan Mitchell and still has the best record in the NBA. So Quinn Snyder has never won it. I believe he deserves to win it this year, and he's my Coach of the Year.
Mm. Yes.
There's one answer to this. There's one answer to this, and I know Knicks fans are going to go crazy, but it is Coach Tom Thibodeau. He is the one answer. The Knicks haven't been to the postseason in 97 years. They have an all-star. He got the most out of Julius Randle, right? Like, and that's what makes it so special. It's like he turned him into an all-NBA player. Now, he put in the work. He did everything, but you put a system around him. You gave him everything that he needed. You added vets around him when you added Taj Gibson and you added Derrick Rose. That, to me, is the best coaching performance. If someone would have told you, and it's been especially because of COVID, that the Utah Jazz were going to have a great season, that the Phoenix Suns, when you add Chris Paul, who a lot of people want to give the MVP, and you look at Chris Paul's percentage increase on every single team that he's ever been on, not trying to take anything away from Monty Williams, but is all of this jump because of Monty Williams? No. But in the Knicks place, there is no other coach that you can look at that they had no success. Their roster isn't that crazy, or it hasn't changed a bunch. They didn't get Chris Paul. They didn't get anything like that, and they vaulted themselves into relevancy like the Knicks haven't been in a long time. That is truly the only answer.
Well, look, I had a really hard time when I was voting for this. I mean, it's the slimmest of margins. These are great candidates, and none of these answers are wrong, frankly. And by the way, being one of the top one or two coaches in the league, that's good. I narrowly gave it to Tibbs.
Yeah!
Just because. No, here's the reason. His fingerprints are so all over that team. But if your criteria, Richard Jefferson, is the Knicks haven't been in the playoffs in 97 years, guess who is getting over on the longer playoff drought than the Knicks? That would be your Phoenix Suns.
Yeah, but that's
so you look, like,
I'm not
yeah,
worried
yeah,
about
my
that.
First
I'm not worried about that
invalid.
Part. Like, only pay attention to a third of what I say. But
okay,
that's really it.
And here it is, right? I'm not mad at that. I'm not mad at the Tom Thibodeau choice. But
yep.
he was second on my list. Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying we can't let what Quinn Snyder is doing fly under the radar. Like, they have the best record
in the whole
NBA.
Not
NBA.
Even just in the West.
And look, no one thought at the beginning of the season that when the season started that the Utah Jazz would have the best record in the league and be the number one team in the Western Conference. Did you think that? I'm asking.
I know for sure that if someone would have told you that, you would have been like, okay, they had a great season, especially with the injuries, because if it wasn't for the injuries to a ton of players, they might not have been in that position. They had one of the least amount of starting lineup changes. That means they had more health than any other team in this league, which is a big, big piece of it. So anything I'm saying, it's fine. No one cares.
I care, Richard.
Thank you.
Deeply. All right. Stick with us. We may run the Bald and the Beautiful again just because I love it so much. Probably not. We'll catch it on YouTube. Coming up, last time we heard from Draymond Green, he told the world that he's a mother bleeping dog on national TV. I sat down with him to get all his thoughts on that.
And he better be a dog tonight. Anthony Davis coming for him.
Woo! Sabrina Ionescu dropping 26 points, 10 rebounds, 12 assists for the Liberty last night, becoming the youngest player in W history to record a triple-double at age 23. Perk, do you see all those Kobe vibes in Sabrina?
I see that. See Kobe vibes, Russell Westbrook vibes. She's just a flat-out hooper.
I
know what vibes I don't see. It's RJ vibes.
Why is he talking about me? Why can't he just look? Anyways. It's great that we have the record and we're talking about the first one because I can't wait until she has the record for breaking and for setting the record.
Yes.
So we can go and talk about the first, then we can go and talk about the last. Like, Perk, when was the last time you had triple-double?
I never had one.
Not even in high school?
I mean, don't get me started.
So, guys, Steve Kerr said whenever teams throw defenders at Steph, Draymond Green is the one who always has an answer. Now, as the questions continue to build, leading to tonight's star-studded showdown, I sat down with Draymond, searching for some more answers.
The Golden State Warriors, they're a threat. They're a threat even to LeBron and Anthony Davis.
They got championship DNA as well.
Now, we're hunting again.
Lakers, Warriors, how much juice is there in this matchup for you? Because this is for the playoffs.
I'm excited as hell. I think, you know, playing against the Lakers, defending champion, with an opportunity to solidify our spot in the playoffs. The stage doesn't get any bigger in LA. I've been very vocal about the play-in tournament. But this is great. I'm excited about this. This is a great opportunity for us.
You, LeBron, Anthony Davis, you're all pretty tight off the court. So I want to know, has there been any extracurricular text trash talking? Is there a bottle of wine on the line here with this game? What's the stakes here?
There hasn't been any extracurricular trash talking there.
But one thing you do know, you know, that's one of those unspoken things. You know, next time we're together, the loser's definitely picking up that tab, you know, and providing a vino. That's just kind of, that goes without saying.
You know, everyone always say, oh man, why are they friends? That sucks. You know, that's what makes it fun for us. You know, to be able to go out there and destroy your friend, destroy your brother. You know, when you go in there, they're trying to take your head off. When they come in our lane, we're trying to take their heads off, and that's what it boils down to.
Steph Curry off the nice dime by Draymond Green.
They are so in sync, it's almost frightening.
The relationship you and Steph have, at this point, it's kind of like its own superpower. I sat down with Steph not too long ago, and he told me that after you guys pull off one of those kinds of plays, and you look at each other and you smile that smile we've all seen before, he said the mental exchange is that you guys both know that you have just gotten one over on someone. That is how he phrased it. Does it feel that way to you?
100%, because the reality is everyone's defense is built to take that connection away when they're playing against us, you know? And so we have to get creative. That's just the reality. And then you kind of pull the wool over their head one time and get exactly what we're trying to get. Like that could, it feels special and it's hilarious because you know what they're thinking. It's just kind of that look like, we got them.
I know that Steph has been the most valuable player on your team for a long time, so that role is nothing new, but I'm not sure there's ever been more weight on him that really just as he goes, the whole team goes.
I think it's been very motivating for him. I think it's been very uplifting for him.
Like you said, he's definitely the most valuable player on this team, also the most valuable player in this league. You know, with the way he's played, and this same exact team won 15 games a year ago. You know, here we are, 39-33, with a chance to be the seventh seed. You know, he's for sure the most valuable player in this league. And, you know, he's had the better year of any one particular player in this league this year. So, MVP for sure.
You have been elite defensively again this year, and you're about to face a familiar foe. I don't know if you know this about you and Anthony Davis, but over the past 8 years, no one has been the closest defender on AD more than you. And then on the flip side, he's the guy you've defended most over that span, with James Harden and LeBron coming in after that. So who does that familiarity give a bigger advantage to, you or him?
I think for both of us, it's great. You know, I know what he's trying to get to, and he know how I defend, you know, and he knows what, you know, the things that I'm going to do. And so then what it boils down to is it boils down to heart. It boils down to who wanted more. It boils down to who can outthink the next guy on that particular play.
Who's going to take it on the chest and defend without fouling? You know, all of these things, that's what it ends up boiling down to. But the one thing that's for certain is there will be no surprises.
Well, if you win this game, you will go into the bracket as the number seven seed, but you don't feel like a number seven seed, not with the way you guys have been playing lately, how hot Steph has been. How would you describe what kind of team you are going into the playoff bracket?
I think we're coming together and gelling at the right time. And so, you know, 7 seed, 8 seed, 1 seed, 2 seed, when you get into the playoffs, none of that matters. It's about, you know, who's going to execute the game plan, who's going to be tough, you know, come up with the 50-50 balls.
I feel extremely comfortable with where we are in those things and how we've been playing, and that we're going to bring that to the table, you know, in this game against the Lakers and moving forward past that as well.
Are you guys a threat to win the title this year?
Anytime you got Steph Curry on that floor, you give yourself a chance. And, you know, I'm always going to go out there and do what I do. Steph's going to do what he do. You know, as the leaders of this team, we make sure all our guys are ready to go. And you swing. You know, we got a bunch of free swings. Go out there, play loose, see what we can do. But I have no doubt that we can be right there with anybody.
Bunch of free swings, man. All right, coming up, which team can provide the best fight for the Lakers and Warriors? The Spurs or the Grizzlies? We'll discuss. Thank you to Draymond for his time. All right, it's crunch time here on The Jump. Masai Ujiri spoke to the media today about his future with the Raptors. His contract will need to be negotiated this offseason or he becomes a free agent. Take a listen.
Let me tell you something, guys. Everybody has forgotten what has happened here 2 years ago. Okay, yes, we won. Nobody cares anymore. Okay, we want to win another one. That's what you want to do. Yeah, you want to prepare yourself to win another one. That's the conversation I'm going to have with them. And yes, I'm going to have asks. I'm going to have a lot of things that I think, you know, that we need to put forward here to address these things.
Oh. Masai getting baller there, just going straight out with it. Yeah. What do you think, Kendrick? Do you think he'll be back with the Raptors?
I mean, he was so aggressive, Rachel. He scared me through the TV screens. But I don't think he'll be back because, look, it's, how can they rebuild to get back to that level, right? You get spoiled. Like RJ was saying, you get spoiled, right, when you win the championship. And I just don't see the Raptors being able to build to get back to having to being a championship team. So they're going to have other suitors out there that's going to pursue him.
And look, Masai, and I don't know if it's true or not, but you hear rumors of him being offered part ownership to come and go to, quote unquote, the Wizards. Or these different teams have offered him a lot, or there's been rumors of a lot. So if he's like, okay, if I'm going to stay here, these are my ask. If not, I'm going to go take this 1%, 2% ownership on top of my salary with some place that's going to let me do it for 10 years.
Well, Kendrick, clearly he sees some ways, some paths that they could get back to what you're talking about, because he said he has changed, he has things he wants to see. He has asks. I thought it was interesting that the asks he's talking about are not, I would like a private jet or ownership or, you know, money or whatever. That may also be some of his asks. He's just not making, smart enough not to make that public, but ask for the team. And when you do something like that, the fan base is going to get behind you. Because what's he sitting there saying? I'm fighting for the team. I'm fighting for us to win championships again. Mm-hmm. I want to make them spend the money. I want to make them put the processes in place for this to happen. So I'm sure the Raptors fan base was very happy with that. We will have to see what Raptors ownership feels about that.
Big ownership
and we will
group.
Have to, it is a big group. We will have to see if Masai is back. But once again today, proving himself one of the smartest, most canny guys in the room. Yet again. All right, I want to switch gears now to our early playing game tonight. The Spurs taking on the Grizzlies to play the losers of Lakers-Warriors for that eighth spot in the Western Conference. So look, the idea here, you win tonight, it doesn't actually get you anything. You still have to then go play either the Lakers or the Warriors. So which team can come out of this game tonight with a chance to actually make the playoffs?
Grizzlies.
So they're the ones that could knock off either the Lakers or Warriors in that way. I mean, basically, you know, tonight's game is to play one of those teams to get in.
Okay, really quickly. My thing is this. When you look at the Pacers, and they lost to a younger team. They beat a younger team.
Yeah.
So you think about, man, maybe there's a lot more experience. I think the Spurs have more experience than the Grizzlies. But, man, it's just hard for me to root against Ja.
No, I'm going with the Grizzlies. And to your point, here's why, right? When you talk about experience, remember, The Grizzlies were in this situation last year.
That's true.
Right? So they know the feeling. They know what it means to win this game. They have one of the most underrated backcourts in the game today in Ja Morant and Dylan Brooks, right? And big Jonas Valanciunas is a problem down low. Jaren Jackson, so versatile, you know, can stretch the floor. And they play extremely hard. And look, they were right there in the thick of things in that game with Golden Steph. And then, I mean, Golden State, then all of a sudden Steph came in. It went from a tie game and it blew it out the water. So I got the Grizzlies winning tonight.
That's your call, and your call on Lakers Warriors?
Oh, I got the Lakers.
You?
I got the Warriors. Steph Curry is going to have 50.
I like in that moment you were just fighting between your basketball mind and your inner troll. Before we go, huge congratulations. Producer Danny, his lovely wife, Adriana, who also works with us, the birth of Dylan Isidore Corrales, who was born this morning, 7:49, made an entrance a little late. Thank you for watching The Jump, and congratulations.
Happy birthday, KG.
Family, we just could not be happier for all of you.
Down,
a
Danny.
Playoff, baby.
Love you, brother.
I love it. Congrats, guys.